Berkshire News and Berkshire Stories.
With Howard Hughes.
BBC Radio Berkshire.
BBC Radio Berkshire, Fevzi Turkalp is here. He is the gadget detective. Fevzi Turkalp, good morning.
Morning to you.
How are you?
Yes, good, thanks.
Did you call yourself the Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, or did somebody come up with that name for you?
It was actually on my birth certificate.
You're joking.
Yes, I am. But they just knew what I would be like.
What a feeling you might be.
The whole idea of the name gadget detective was the idea of seeking out the best technology and trying to bring it to the public in plain English.
Which you invariably have to say. And, you know, you get up at the crack of dawn on a Saturday morning to do this for us, for which we are enormously grateful. Let's get stuck into it. Huge news if you are one of the millions of people around the world, the growing army of Apple fans. They've launched the new MacBook Pros. Now, an awful lot of people, including the guy who designs my website, Adam, absolutely depend every day on their MacBook Pro.
Yeah, and so actually there were two sets of product launches this week. There was Apple with the MacBook Pros, as you've said, but also Microsoft unveiled their Surface Studio PC, and we'll touch on both. And if I may take a moment to maybe just compare the direction that these two companies appear to be going in. So with regards to the MacBook Pros, you're quite right. They are the bread and butter of a lot of creative professionals. So they're laptop computers. They hadn't seen an update since May 2015. And in fact, it had the same form factor, the same sort of shape and external appearance for a good number of years. So people were waiting on a major redesign. And they did get a redesign. The laptops, as you will imagine, are faster, slimmer, and lighter. All the traditional ports have been replaced by either two or four USB-C ports. And what's interesting about those is that they can do different things. So one of those ports becomes the power supply, because there's no longer a power supply port, you know, power input port. Another one could become your video output if you want an external monitor. Another one would connect to a fast hard drive. So they do lots of different things, and there's two or four depending on how many you have. So four is obviously nicer than two. The thing that everyone is talking about is something called a touch bar. So they've done away with the top line of keys on it, where, you know, the F keys, the function keys, and they've replaced it by a color touch sensitive strip, which is what it displays is context sensitive. So if you're sending messages, it could show you emojis. If you're in the middle of an app, it will show you buttons specific to that program, and you can swipe along it and so forth. So imagine it's a bit like the surface of an iPhone or an iPad, but it's a long strip. So they haven't gone as far as making the whole screen touch sensitive, but they've done this touch sensitive thing. So
now that sounds good, doesn't it? And I know everything is going this way, but doesn't it mean that they are constantly monitoring what you're doing?
No, it doesn't. It's because the strip, what it displays is a function of the software that you're running. So it's no more that than if you're running on an iPad and the program decides what to display on the screen. It's not. There's no issue with regard to that. I'm not saying they're not monitoring what you're doing, but this doesn't mean that they're doing any more.
So they're not doing any more, right? Okay.
No. And actually, when you talk about security, they've got a fingerprint sensor on it, rather like on the iPhone and the iPad. And they've put a special chip on there, which is a special sort of enclave to store that information, so that even if you get hacked, they don't get your fingerprints. So it's a good thing. Now, on the Microsoft side, they've launched something called the Microsoft Surface Studio, which is a huge desktop computer, huge in the sense that the screen is 28 inches in on the diagonal. It's an LCD screen, and the whole screen is a touchscreen. Now, Apple have always said, for example, touchscreen is no good because it's going to hurt your arm. You reach across trying to poke at screen. It's all right when you've got a device in your hand like an iPad or an iPhone, but they don't believe that a desktop screen should be like that. But Microsoft have done something very clever. You hold the screen in both hands, you know, to the left and to the right, and you just pull it down towards you, and it goes from being in the vertical traditional position that you get a monitor down as almost like a draft person's desk, you know, at a shallow angle, and then you can touch and write on it and do all sorts of things. They've made it 12.5 millimeters thick, which is thinner than Apple's iMac computers. And they've done that by putting all the gubbins in the base, which is a very innovative design.
So it sounds like a great creative tool then for people who draw things and make things.
Yeah, and when you consider that, you consider their Surface Book i7, this very high-end, very stylish laptop that Microsoft have updated, and their HoloLens virtual reality. And I think now it's interesting because we may be at a crossover where it may be the case that we are seeing the beginning of Apple not being the leader in design and innovation that it was under Steve Jobs.
Interesting times, Fevzy.
We are seeing innovation, but it's very slow. So they are ripe for disruption, Apple, and they need to be careful.
Well, it's interesting to see that it's not as exponential as we thought it might be. There's a word for Saturday morning. Okay, gadget of the week. Amazon Basics large portable Bluetooth speaker. Do we really need another Bluetooth speaker?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, Amazon Basics is interesting. So Amazon Basics is one word, and it's Amazon's own brand for stuff, and it sells all sorts of things, equipment and towels and everything under the Amazon Basics name. And the Basics kind of says, oh, you know, cheap and cheerful, but actually, almost without exception, the things in the Amazon Basics range are really good value for money and really competent, and actually undersell themselves by the name Amazon Basics, I feel. So this particular speaker, it's about £40 mark, £40, 49 pence. 5-watt stereo speakers. It's about 10 inches wide and about 3 by 3 inches high and deep.
So that'll give you a bit of welly, won't it? 5 watts.
And 5 watts a channel, Bluetooth connected for up to 4 hours. It will run off batteries, or it comes with the charger so you can run it permanently. And it's also got, unlike Apple, a 3.5mm stereo cable input. So if you don't want to use Bluetooth, you can just plug things in.
Now, that's useful because I bought one and it doesn't have that. And there are times when I've needed to do that. And, you know, it doesn't allow it.
No, it's a very nice, solid bit of kit. It's got all the right functions. And for the £40 odd mark, I think it's very good value.
Okay, now we've got about
amazon.co.uk/AmazonBasics.
Got about 60 seconds. I just want to get briefly into this story that the BBC and other places, some of the newspapers reporting today, that basically MPs are saying that we should have the same roaming rights in the UK that who come from other countries here get. In other words, you arrive off the plane here from some foreign country, turn on your phone, and your phone seeks out the strongest signal wherever you are. And exactly. MPs are calling for all of us to get that.
Yeah, so it's a group of MPs called the British Infrastructure Group who note that coverage in the UK, mobile phone coverage, hasn't improved since 2014 when the government stuck £5 billion into the project, and it hasn't really improved. And one of the things holding it back is that some networks have got towers and signals in some areas and others in others. And if you are linked to O2 or EE or Vodafone, then you only get to take the advantage of those particular towers. Under roaming, as you say, you would do what visitors to the UK do, which is just your phone would automatically latch on to whichever network was strongest in any given location.
Which is a great thing, but then the mobile phone firms would have to sort out the billing for themselves, wouldn't they?
Well, yes, they could do. I mean, that's not beyond the wit of man. If they can do it, or indeed woman, they can do it for customers from abroad, which is arguably hugely more complicated. But the thing is, traditionally, they've made shed loads of money doing it with customers from abroad, inside the European Union, that's been shut down. Whether we're going to still benefit from that after Brexit, I do not know. But it's a good idea because we're falling short of that target of 90% coverage of the UK's geographical area by next year. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, that's amazing. Somebody didn't have that idea a long time ago, but I'm glad they have. If anybody wants to get technological guidance or to shoot the breeze with you, Fevzy, how do they do that?
You come and say hello on Twitter @GadgetDetective, or indeed you can go to the website, which is www.GadgetDetective.com. There's a free tech advice forum there, or you can tweet me a quick question if you like.
Thank you, Fevzy. Have a really good week, and thank you for doing this on a Saturday morning.
Pleasure. Bye now.
Bye bye. Fevzy Turkup, the Gadget Detective at GadgetDetective.com.